Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Thursday, March the 3rd. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the East African Community sidesteps Burundi's bid for the rotating chairmanship of the organisation.
The Burundi issue has been very difficult one for the summit, for the community in general to handle. And what they have done in the past is to sidetrack Burundi issues.
And in Uganda, supporters of opposition leader Kizza Besigye are angry with the authorities that prevented him from launching an official challenge to the recent election results.
The whole incarceration, as it were, in his home. And yet police kept coming up with silly excuses, saying they're protecting him and all that stuff. So how was he to file the petition when he did not have the time to go and work about it?
Plus, a second chance to hear this week's installment in our radio drama series, Crime Fighters. Stay tuned.
Top story.
South Sudan has now been admitted to the EAC, the East African Community, bringing the number of members in the regional bloc to 6. The decision was announced at the EAC summit in Arusha, Tanzania. Now, Burundi had been expected to take over the rotating chairmanship, but in a surprise move, member states agreed that host nation Tanzania would continue to lead the bloc for another one-year term. With the entry of South Sudan, the EAC now has a total population of over 150 million. Our correspondent in Arusha, Charles Engereza, has been telling Jane Ayeko about the thinking behind the bloc's expansion.
Leaders are telling us that the community is growing. It has to grow so that they may have a lot of strength. We all know that South Sudan has not really met the qualifications that the treaty needs for member states to uphold. That's a human right and democracy. And we see that South Sudan is not settled and there are still a lot of problems that would have not given it the advantage of joining EAC.
Now, we also expected that Burundi would take over the chairmanship of the community, but this did not happen. Why was Burundi not given the chairmanship?
We all know that the humanitarian crisis in Burundi is deepening and a lot of efforts have been made to put things in order, but no resolution has been made despite the fact that even the Legislative Assembly of the East African Community have recommended some issues that the heads of state must do quickly to restore the situation, but no steps have been taken. Leaders of the East African Community have not really shown commitment on solving the problem of Burundi, and again there are allegations of neighboring countries fouling the problem. And there were a number of decisions that were made during meetings of the heads of state about Burundi, but no solution has been made already. Some people are saying there's a question of interest between these leaders. President Magufuli used not a good language, but he said he was forced by the other presidents to accept the chairmanship.
Now, former Tanzanian President Benjamin Mkapa was named the new mediator for Burundi talks, but at the same time, Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni also remains the chief mediator. Can you draw more light on this announcement?
It is quite another surprise because Museveni was appointed to mediate peace in Burundi, but it looks like he didn't have time to do responsibility because he had only one meeting and he appointed one of the ministers of his country to continue, and there was nothing that was reached in terms of getting peace in Burundi. So this is another tactic or a new initiative, probably, we may say, for the head of state to make sure that maybe the solution of this crisis in Burundi is going to be met, because President Mkapa is going now to mediate peace in that country.
Charles Engereza in Arusha. With Burundi seething with unrest, one might have expected the summit to focus on the internal divisions troubling one of its member states. It didn't do this, but why not? Jane Ayeko put that question to Mwesiga Barrego, Professor of Peace and Conflict Studies at St. Augustine University in Tanzania.
Personally, I am not surprised because the Burundi issue has been a very difficult one for the summit, for the community in general to handle. And what they have done in the past is to sidetrack Burundi issues and basically to move on forward. And I think this is partly why they didn't even take up the issue of Burundi acceding to the chair and Tanzania continuing in the chair for another year.
Now, Professor, you just talked about the community sidetracking issues of Burundi. Could this then be a symbol to suggest that the organization is not capable or strong enough to handle the crisis in Burundi?
This is essentially an issue that squarely belongs to the East African community. And if the organization is not to drift into different forms of hypocrisy and render itself inactive, then I think there is every reason why they should grab the bull by the horn and take it up. And they need to define, and I think that's part of the reason that they're avoiding it, because I think they are not coming to any agreement about what the problem is. Is it about violation of democracy in Burundi? Is it just that somebody extended his period of being in power, or is it something else? There must be some agreement about the nature of the problem so that then we can begin to move forward.
Based on the operational institution of the community, many of us were expecting that Burundi will be taking on the chairmanship from Tanzania. But as events of the day unfolded, it so happened that Tanzania is continuing for another term. In your opinion, what could have shaped the decision?
Well, I'm wondering whether this was the compromise that finally, because I would have expected probably that Burundi, given that the situation it is in, they might have pushed this issue and maybe demanded to accede to the chair. But it would seem to me that this is the compromise that they arrived at. We will not bring up your issues if you don't demand to become chairman and therefore maybe embarrass the community.
Nevertheless, Burundi's Liberat Mufome Keko, who has been the Deputy Secretary General of the East African Community, has been appointed to take over the full position of Secretary General. With him in this position, do we see him engaging more the East African community members to solve the conflict in his country?
I do not know whether this is going to be helpful or whether it complicates matters even more, because if the community and the summit has had relative paralysis over this question, then I think an executive secretary that is from that country even faces more constraints. I'm not quite sure how much autonomy he would enjoy in handling issues relating to his country, or whether he would just be in a position to carry out orders from his president.
Professor Mawesiga Barego from St. Augustine University in Tanzania.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
He was placed under house arrest and the police had encircled his house. Uganda's leading opposition figure, Kizza Besigye, was therefore unable to file a petition challenging the results of the parliamentary and presidential elections held on February the 18th. Now that the 10-day deadline for contesting the poll has expired, Besigye is appealing to the international community to put pressure on President Yoweri Museveni to agree to an independent audit of the election results. This report now from Alex Jitter in Kampala.
Besigye outright rejected the outcome and promised to challenge the result in court. However, he was put under house arrest since the results were announced, and because of this, his team failed to collect the required evidence for the petition. Now, Forum for Democratic Change President Mugisha Muntu says the only peaceful way to resolve the issue is to audit the result.
There are clear and glaring contradictions between what was declared by the Electoral Commission and what we have gathered across the country. We have a situation in the country where the presidential candidate who lost was declared a winner. This can only be peacefully resolved by an independent audit.
The other option for the FDC is to join another loser of the election, Amama Mbabazi, who managed to file his petition in time. Mbabazi's lawyer Severino Trinobosinje says their petition is premised on bribery of voters by candidate Museveni and unclear system of how the results reached the Electoral Commission.
How do you wake up in the middle of an election and you say you are giving 18 million holes to the voters so that they do what? Can you say you have tallied results when you have no tally center? So these are some of the things that we would like him to come and tell court.
Uganda's Chief Justice, Bart Katurebe, is expected to announce a team of 7 top judges, including himself, who will hear the petition and assess the evidence presented. Ordinary Ugandans that DW spoke to expressed disappointment at how the authorities have mistreated Kizza Besigye, in particular, the police.
The whole incarceration, as it were, in his home. And yet police kept coming up with silly excuses saying they're protecting him and all that stuff. So how was he to file the petition when he did not have the time to go and work about it?
Everyone expected that he would take the legal direction because no one aspires to war in this country. So when he did not make it to the courts of law, it came as a big blow. The biggest question is, what next?
I would also think that maybe it was a strategy by the government to deny him that opportunity to make the petition, since Besigye actually had the structures and the support base which could have gathered more evidence, which could eventually lead to the Supreme Court nullifying the victory of Mr. Museveni.
Various civil society organizations have called on both President Yoweri Museveni and Kizza Besigye to use peaceful means to resolve the issue.
Alex Jitter in Kampala. To West Africa now. In Maiduguri, northeastern Nigeria, internally displaced people, IDPs, fleeing the Islamist militant group Boko Haram, are now facing adversity from another quarter. Malnutrition is on the rise in the IDP camps, and 450 children are reported to have died last year because they weren't being fed properly. The Nigerian authorities deny these figures. From Maiduguri, Uwesu Abubakar Idris reports.
This is the sound of children at Dalori IDP camp in Maiduguri welcoming guests to their home. It is the biggest among the 28 camps in the city ravaged by Boko Haram attacks. There are complaints of poor feeding by the refugees. They were given meals twice in a day and always rice and beans with no substitute. Zara Musa, 35, is a mother of 7 children. She lives in Dalori camp.
While we're getting food, but it is not enough. We've been managing here. I have to struggle to get some little money to buy oil and pepper to add to the food because it's like there's no oil in it. Even that is not enough for me and my children. Sometimes I have to go to the kitchen and beg for more.
A report published by Borno State government indicates that over 450 children died of malnutrition at the IDP camps in 2015 in Borno State. But the government has denied that. Dr. Suleiman Mele is the executive director for Borno State Primary Health Care Agency.
That number pertains all deaths that were recorded from different causes, not only malnutrition. In all the IDP camps, for the whole year, and the number of children that died because of malnutrition is less than 100, I think about 94, 95. Don't look at the absolute numbers, look at it among how many people of severely malnourished children do you have that one.
UNICEF is one of the few international agencies helping the internally displaced persons. Dr. Frank Ndiaye is the field officer in charge of Maiduguri.
I consider Maiduguri being a big IDP camp where the facilities now in place, both in health, wash, protection and so on, all the facilities now are overstretched. So the burden is equally shared between the IDPs and the host community.
With 28 camps hosting over 200,000 internally displaced persons, Maiduguri, a city once peaceful, now hosts 90% of all IDPs, while the remaining 10% lives with the host community.
Uwesu Abubakar Idris in Maiduguri. And now a second chance to hear this week's installment of Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Crime Fighters, Land of Chongwe, a radio drama on land grabbing in Africa. This is the second episode entitled Dead or Alive. Last time, flower farm workers Pambo and Zamari discovered the body of Chief Awombo, a respected elder who had been missing for several days. His disappearance was causing anxiety among top security officials, including the head of the National Intelligence Service, Zamba Wazamba. So where will the story lead us next? Let's pick up from where we left off at the riverside with Pambo and Zamari wondering what to do.
Zamari, do you think he's dead? Is the chief dead?
I don't know, Pambo.
Ah, you know what? We've found Chief Awombo. That means we're entitled to claim the government reward. We'll be 500,000 richer when we tell them we found the chief. Give me your mobile phone.
Why do you want my phone? Why can't you use yours?
I don't have any credit, you fool. Just give it to me. You'll thank me later when I give you your share. 250,000, Zamari.
250,000 plus whatever it costs to make that call.
Okay, deal. Now give it to me.
Here you are.
Central Police Station, Inspector Momto speaking. How can I help you?
I think I may have found Chief Awombo.
If this is a telephone prank, you know, we can easily trace the phone and charge you for wasting an officer's time. Is this a joke, Mr.?
Pambo, my name is Pambo. And no, this isn't a joke. In fact, the chief is lying at my feet right now.
Lying at your feet? Is the chief injured? Is he all right?
I don't know. I pulled him from the river and he doesn't seem to be breathing. I think he's dead.
Dead? Are you sure it's Chief Awombo?
Of course I'm sure. He is my chief. I'm from Chongwe. We Chongweans know our chief. So are you going to give me the reward? I found him.
Reward? Oh, yes. Of course. The 1 million. Yes, you'll get it.
1 million? Is this a joke?
Mr. Pambo, please tell me your exact location and we'll be there right away. As soon as we confirm the chief's identity, you'll get your money.
Roses International Farm in Chongwe, next to the river, where they pump the water to irrigate the flowers.
Got it. Now stay right where you are. Don't touch anything and don't talk to anyone else. My men and I are on our way. Do you understand?
Yes, but...
No buts. Just stay put and do as I say.
Yes, sir. I'll call you immediately when we have more information on the chief. We are actually on our way to Chongwe village as we speak.
Inspector Mwamtu, you're sure that this Pambo guy...
Pambo, sir. His name is Pambo.
Whatever. You're quite sure he's found the chief? You've verified this claim, have you?
Affirmative. He was certain it was Chief Awombo. Pambo is Chongwean, and from what he said, it definitely sounded like he'd seen the chief.
All right, then. Keep me posted. And let me know when you can confirm it is the chief. As the head of the National Intelligence Service, I have to be constantly updated. Is that clear, Inspector?
Yes, sir. But there's something else, sir.
What is it? Just tell me, I don't have all day.
Pambo, the man who found the chief, said, he believes the chief might be dead.
Dead? What? How did he come to that conclusion?
Well, apparently he pulled the chief out of the river, sir. And according to him, Chief Awombo didn't seem to be breathing.
Are you kidding me? You're telling me this only now?
Well, yes, sir. There wasn't a chance to tell you earlier. I only found out myself a few minutes ago.
All right. Inspector, I want you to listen very carefully. Tell your colleagues to secure the area. Don't let anyone in. As you're aware, this is a high-profile case. I'm going to fly in by helicopter, and I'll bring an emergency medical team headed by Binti, the chief government pathologist. They'll confirm whether the chief is indeed dead or alive.
Copy that, sir. Secure the area and no one's to come in until you get there with your team.
And if he arrives before me, I want this Pambo guy who supposedly found the chief arrested and taken into custody for questioning. I'll handle everything from there.
But sir, we have no reason to suspect him. And if it's true that he found the chief, he deserves his reward.
Inspector, do you like your job?
Yes, sir, I do.
Then learn to obey orders.
Now what, Pambo? Eh?
Now we wait until the police arrive. But Zumari, I didn't like the inspector's tone. He sounded as if...
As if what? Pambo, what's going on here? Huh? Can you please tell me what the inspector said? Huh? You used my phone, and now you sound as if it wasn't such a good idea to call the police.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. I mean, we found the chief. The police should thank us for doing their job for them. But...
But... You know what, Pambo? Maybe it's better if the police don't find us.
Tell me I'm dreaming and you did not just throw your mobile phone in the river.
Oh, yes, I did.
But what about the reward? If the police don't find us, we won't get the money.
Pambo, we need to get back to work and behave as if nothing's happened. Trust me, it's better to earn peanuts working on this flower farm than to rot away in prison.
Why prison? We haven't done anything wrong.
Of course we haven't. But do you think they'll believe our story? That we saw a body floating and pulled it from the river, only to discover it was the missing chief? I don't think so. Whoa, that was quick. Pambo, let's go, let's go.
But the chief, we can't just...
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
As Pambo and Zumari hurry to get back to work, Inspector Mwamtu and his fellow officers are approaching Chongwe by road, while Zamba Wazamba is arriving by police helicopter. Where will the story take us next? Stay tuned for the next episode of Land of Chongwe to find out. Remember, you can listen to this episode again by visiting our website, dw.com/crimefighters, or go to our Facebook page. Until next time, stay safe.
And now a reminder of our main stories here on Africa Link. South Sudan has been admitted to the East African Community. Tanzania retains the chair of the organization. In Uganda, the main opposition Forum for Democratic Change has failed to petition the results of the recent election, but is calling on the international community to pressure President Yoweri Museveni into agreeing to an independent audit. We welcome your comments on this programme via text message to country code 49 160 957 59510, in an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or in a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening and bye now.